matter of life and death.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. China sent a clear signal today that it's serious about food and drug safety. The Chinese government executed the former head of the country's Food and Drug Administration. He got the death penalty for taking payoffs from drug companies in exchange for approving untested medicine. One antibiotic killed at least 10 people. Food and drug safety is also a huge topic in Washington right now. Congress is scrutinizing fees drug makers pay to the FDA to speed up approvals. And reports of contaminated seafood and food additives from China have raised questions about the safety of the food supply. Helen Palmer has more on that from our health desk at WGBH.
The FDA is aware there's a problem. Back in May, it appointed a new food safety czar. But the more fundamental issues remain.
Half of our food is imported into the U.S., and yet less than 1% is actually inspected.
Winona Hauter of the consumer group Food and Water Watch says increasingly food comes from developing countries, which have inadequate sewage systems and often use chemicals and drugs banned in the U.S. But the FDA has only 2,700 food safety officers to police 250,000 foreign and domestic food processors.
This is really about budget and Congress's lack of commitment to providing enough funding to have adequate inspection.
$450 million is the agency's total food safety budget, says Hauter. Congress has reintroduced legislation to beef up food safety, but there's no certainty there'll be action on it before the summer recess. In Boston, I'm Helen Palmer for Marketplace.
There seem to be no summer doldrums on Wall Street this year. Yesterday, the Dow gained 38 points to 13,649. The NASDAQ added 3 to 2,670. And the S&P 500 was up 1 point. But after the bell, Alcoa kicked off the earnings season with a profit report that fell short of expectations. Stocks in Asia hardly budged today, and a pretty flat opening in Europe, too. Apple could be planning a nano version of its new iPhone. A J.P. Morgan analyst points to a patent application that indicates a smaller version of the iPhone might be coming. He expects it to come out later this year and to sell for about $300. Apple isn't talking.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the American Public Transportation Association, supporting America's public transportation systems. Working to help reduce greenhouse gases for a better environment at publictransportation.org. Science and technology reports are supported by Boston Scientific, committed to delivering what's next in medical technology to help clinicians improve and extend lives. BostonScientific.com. The Marketplace Entrepreneurship Desk is supported by the Kauffman Foundation, online at kauffman.org.
For the past few weeks, we've been talking to listeners about the nuts and bolts of building a small business. We've learned what happens when a company grows too fast. We've talked about the lessons of failure, where to look for capital, when it's time to hire help, and when it's time to pull the plug. Throughout, we've heard from Patty Green, an entrepreneurship expert at Babson College. She joins us now to wrap up our series. Patty, one of the themes here is that entrepreneurs make the same mistakes again and again. Why is that?
They don't talk to each other very often, and so they all feel like they're the individual, that they have to figure it all out themselves. Where in reality, if they talk to each other and share what they've learned, a lot of this could just be avoided and move on to the next mistake or the new mistake.
Okay, so what forums are out there for entrepreneurs to share their ideas, their wisdom?
Really depends where you are. And that's why I think this is not only an individual entrepreneur question, it's actually a policy question. It's an economic environment question. So in some areas, there's excellent, excellent chambers of commerce, connecting them not just one entrepreneur to another, but to the rest of the community to support entrepreneurship, the bankers, those who would provide debt capital, angels, having angel networks. And then there's a number of national programs, too. I've been a longtime advocate of the Athena PowerLink program. This is for women entrepreneurs, but it helps create voluntary boards for them for a year to help them learn better about what they might do right and what they might do wrong.
Well, I guess some of the qualities that you have to have to be an entrepreneur, I would think you'd have to be pretty idealistic or optimistic, but that can also be a liability. So how do you balance those two things?
I think you temper your enthusiasm by having a set of metrics that we talked about in the series as well, by really knowing where your business is. I remember there was one entrepreneur years ago I worked with who didn't keep financial statements. And if there was money in the drawer, the business must be doing okay. And if the drawer was empty, they were in trouble. You know, obviously not the right way to run a business.
But is it the case in starting a small business that you kind of have to do it your own way, or is there a model that you should follow?
It's a blend. You absolutely have to keep some of your own way in it. The last thing we want is a cookie-cutter approach to creating businesses. Lots of people have the same ideas. It's the entrepreneurial implementation that actually makes it special and gives it more of an opportunity for success. It's incredibly hard work, especially in the beginning. It pretty much is running your life. And that's why it's so important to think about what is it you're really trying to build that fits you, your family, and again, this enterprise that you're trying to create.
All right, Patty Green from Babson College. Thanks so much.
Oh, it was a pleasure. Thank you, Scott.
Lots more about our series Nuts and Bolts on our website, marketplace.org. Finally this morning, if you really want out of your cell phone contract, maybe you should just ask a lot of questions. Sprint Nextel sent Dear John letters to 1,000 customers telling them it's over. Apparently, these people were calling customer service 40 to 50 times a month, asking the same questions over and over. They won't have to pay a termination fee or even their final bill. Please just get on with your life and find another phone company. Sprint says these people were draining too many customer service resources. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening and enjoy your day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.